Our scripture reading this morning begins in the 9th chapter of Matthew's Gospel at verse 35 and continues into chapter 10 through verse 7. Listen now to hear God's word. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew the tax collector; James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus; Simon the Canaanite; and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we bring our stories to this place this morning, and we wait to be held by yours. But God, the way is hard, and we are tired. So speak into our tiredness with your story of grace. Speak into our wandering with your story of vision. Let your story be our story. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Etty Hillesum was a young Jewish woman in her 20s when the Nazis invaded Holland in 1940. She'd not grown up in a terribly religious family, but as she watched her world descend into nightmare, ending with her own death at Auschwitz, she began to be deeply aware of God's hand on her life. And in her diary, she wrote, "There must be someone to live through it all and bear witness to the fact that God lived, even in these times. And why should I not be that person?" One of Etty Hillesum's biographers says she decided to occupy a certain place, a place where others could connect to God through her. She took responsibility for making God credible in the world. She took responsibility for making God credible in the world. And so in a week like this one, when the words harassed and helpless seem to apply to everyone and everything around us, maybe making God credible, believable, relevant in the world is the holiest work that any of us can do. These words immediately brought to mind this passage from Matthew's Gospel: "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Then, therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers." Now, let's be honest. We middle-of-the-road, mainline Protestant Christians tend to cringe when we hear this verse. It conjures up images of knocking on door after door and asking people if they've been saved, or sliding salvation tracts into the windshields of cars in the Home Depot parking lot. I believe that we are messengers who carry God's good news into the world, but personally, I don't believe God has asked me to engage in either of those forms of evangelism, and for that I'm grateful. But I find a lot of hope here in Matthew 9 and 10, when Jesus sends out the first apostles to share the good news. And they seem like the right words for us today as we send out our high school seniors to the next chapter of their lives. Now, it's curious that in chapter 10, verse 1, Matthew tells us that Jesus summons the 12 disciples, but in verse 2, he calls them the 12 apostles. That's not a mistake. We often use those words interchangeably, but they're very different in Greek. A disciple, a mathetas, is a pupil or a learner. An apostle is a messenger. The verb apostello means to be sent. So one is stationary and the other is dynamic. And according to Matthew, those stationary disciples become dynamic apostles. And that includes us, people with a message commissioned to share the good news in the world through our own lives. Now, there's some urgency to that. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I don't know a thing about farming, but John and Susan Keller do. And Susan tells me that when a crop like the ones that they grow, field corn or soybeans, when a field crop like that is ready, you've got maybe a week to 10 days to get it harvested. It can't sit out there indefinitely. And if it sits too long, especially if it's wet, you could lose the entire crop. It's a completely different situation with fruits and vegetables, as some of you know from experience. If you don't pick that tomato the moment it ripens, some squirrel is going to claim it for dinner. In either case, there's a limited amount of time, when the harvest is ready and Jesus needs someone, he's going to send out the first available messenger he can find. This is not the time for us to say, "Oh, look, we have these very talented and faithful high school seniors. Let's send them off to 4 years of undergrad and then on to seminary, and then we'll ordain them and they can go be laborers in the harvest." Jesus doesn't have that kind of time, and neither do we. It's us, friends. We are the ones Jesus calls and blesses and uses and sends in the lot to the not lives of our neighbors and the lives life of the world. We may not feel up to the challenge, but we are apostles no less than the 12. And let's be honest, they weren't all that impressive themselves. Fisher people, a tax collector, at least one traitor, and a whole handful who we're not sure ever held down a job at all. But if God can use them, then surely God can use us to love children, to share with neighbors, to feed the hungry, to care for the wounded, and to heal this fractured world. Those fractures have been very apparent of late. A pandemic still unchecked, the second recession of the last dozen years, partisan rhetoric splitting our nation into us and them, and ongoing protests for racial equality. We know what harassed and helpless feels like. Last Sunday, many of you were at the county courthouse for the Let Justice Ring rally. Local news reported maybe 1,000 marchers, but the law enforcement officers I talked to estimated the crowd at anywhere between 3,000 and 5,000. And at the rally, there was one voice that really stood out. That was 18-year-old Dahali Gadzepo. Dahali reminded us that Black Lives Matter is the number one hashtag trending on Instagram and Twitter right now. But it can't stop there, she says. I'm talking about next week, next month, next year, for many years to come. The Montgomery bus boycott lasted 382 days. The Greensboro sit-ins lasted 6 months. The Freedom Rides lasted 7 months. The Birmingham movement lasted 37 days. Nothing was solved overnight. It's easy to let the momentum of this movement die off after a couple of weeks, she says. But that in itself is privilege. The ability to move on is a privilege. And Black lives and other people of color will continue to be in danger so long as we live in comfortable silence and warm complicity. And so we need everyone, she says, no matter your background or gender or location or race, to continue to fight so that all people may have the basic human rights they deserve. And as I listened to her, I thought, here is a young woman making God credible in the world. This is what it means to be an apostle. This is what it means to be a messenger of good news. It's happening all over the country. I don't know if you're paying attention, but many, many of the peaceful protests we're seeing are being organized by young people. In Baltimore, in Kalamazoo, in San Diego, Oakland, California just had a march of 15,000 people, mostly high school students. And when things looked as if they might become violent, those same young people redirected the crowd by speaking peace. In Columbia, Maryland, a group, handful of 18 to 21-year-olds put together the largest protest that county has ever seen, and they did it in 5 days via text messages. One of the organizers said simply, "I don't want to march every time someone dies. I want people to stop dying." Two weeks ago on the Saturday night before Pentecost, my friend Tim sent out an email. Tim is the pastor of a large church in downtown Minneapolis, and he wrote a group of us to report what he was seeing. He opened his email with words from the prophet Joel, "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Indeed, Tim says, those filling the streets are young and they have a word for us. Enough. If you don't know the things that make for justice, we will show you. The prophet goes on to say, "Your young shall see visions and your old shall dream dreams." Tim says, old guys like me have not made much progress. Generations of injustice and oppression have consequences. And then he says, "I'm ready to pass the baton to the young." And in a way, seniors, that's what we're doing today. We're turning you loose on this harassed and helpless world because it's time, but also because we believe that you are the generation who can make this world more just, more whole, more generous, more like what God intended. We're not abandoning you by any means. We'll be right there alongside of you because that's what we promised in your baptism. But we think that you are ready to go and show the world what it means to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with God. You make God credible and believable and authentic in your own lives. You have a lot to teach us. And we have a lot of work to do together. I invite you now to join me in our affirmation of faith, which is scrolling at the bottom of your screen. I believe in a God who created all things and seeks for all to be in communion as God's people. I believe in Jesus Christ, who showed us how to share love, and who commissioned us to go out into the highways and byways, inviting all to be a part of God's work in the world. I believe in the Holy Spirit, who leads and guides us, then touches the lives of those around us in ways to make them receptive to love. I believe in the harvest and the call for laborers to receive and respond, sharing light and life with the world. Amen.